looking out for one another. The emphasis on two words, one another. One another. Remember, Jesus said that you are to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treat others as you would want to be treated, however the translation might say it. But I want you to know that you do have power over how people treat you. That secret is found in Luke 6:38, where it says, "Give, and it will be given to you, pressed down, overflowing, poured over into your lap. Because by the same measure you measure it out, it'll be measured back to you." You have power. You have power over how people treat you. But it begins with you treating them the way God's Word teaches us that we ought to treat one another. It all begins with the family. We are the family of God, and there's certainly no doubt that you and I are accountable to a Father who loves us, and He holds us responsible for how we treat one another. You do know that, right? And so when we think about the principles that we shared last week, we begin with the aspect that one, number one was, that Jesus said, "So a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. That you love one another, even as I've loved you, that you love one another. By this the world will know, all men will know, that you are my learners, my followers, by the way you love one another, if you have love for one another." Oh, I love Marilyn. I bought her some orange sherbet. She can eat sherbet. You know, she's on a salt-free diet, 2,000 milligrams. So I got some sherbet, brought her home. We were eating. I said, "I got a surprise for you, honey." So I went and I got a big dish and I scooped her up some sherbet and I put it down on the table, got me some. We sat there at the table. And all of a sudden, Marilyn just simply blurted out, "I love you." And I said, "Well, honey, is that the sherbet or is that you speaking?" "No," she says, "I love the sherbet." One thing is, she's getting better. But we are to love one another. And the aspects, of course, is that you want people to love you, then you got to be the source of love. We love because God first loved us. And God is love. Isn't that right? And so if we're going to have people really loving us, then you demonstrate it by loving others. And it will come back to you, overflowing, pour it into your lap. And it comes back by the same measure. So the more you love it up, and that's what Paul says in the Hebrew letter, he says you need to love one another even more. You're doing a great job, but do it more. Do it more. Love one another more. Can you ever love enough? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Secondly, we looked at Galatians 6, 1 and 2, which tells us, "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ." The word is to restore. Bring back to one's original walk with the Lord. Restore them in the Lord. Who does and how do we do that? Gently. Gently. Then he also says, bear one another's burdens. And to bear one another's burden simply refers to the fact that I'm willing to help you carry the load. Whatever that load is you're carrying, whatever it is you're struggling with, I'm going to help you. I'm going to bear it with you. We're going to get through this, and I'm going to help you to overcome it. Isn't that what the Lord did? Isn't that what He did on Calvary, is bear our burdens, bear our sins and His body, and then take them? That calls for sacrifice, doesn't it? It calls for your sacrifice and mine and the aspects of that. And so as we are to assist people, we're to help them and encourage them and bear with them in the aspects of their lives, every aspect of that. Thirdly, we talked about bearing and forgiving one another. In Colossians 3:13, bear with one another and forgive one another. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord loved, God, the Lord forgive you, so also should you. Forgiving. Probably the number one problem of the human heart is the unwillingness to forgive. The unwillingness to forgive. But we have a criteria. We're to love as we've been loved. But we're also to forgive as we've been forgiven. And we know very definitely that God's Word says if we don't forgive others their trespasses, their sins against us, we will not be forgiven either, right? So it's a violent process, okay? I've had people help me, bear with me, and carry my load many times, haven't you? Haven't you? I've had people right now, I know, anytime I needed them, if I needed them, I could call them, and they'd come and connect themselves, and they'd walk with me. You see, when Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, he meant that it's like a yoke. A yoke is a thing that connects two oxen together. Jesus didn't say he would take it all over and bear it all for you. He said, I will bear it with you. Take my yoke, etc. Why? Because you and I grow through the times where we're bearing burdens, don't we? Isn't it the rough seas that make good sailors? Not smooth seas that make good sailors. Not at all. That's what my granddad used to say. Really? It's the rough seas that make good sailors. Smooth seas doesn't do it. So I said to granddad, So haven't many of us have had rough seas? How many? There's no one of us here today that haven't had the wind and the storms and whatever blow against your house. Isn't that right? We've all experienced that in our individual lives. But it is a part of who we are as God's people. We are not created. We cannot within ourselves bear a spirit of unforgiveness. It will catch up with you physically, mentally, emotionally, in every way. Fourthly, tonight, we want to begin with the aspect of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, where Paul said, therefore, encourage one another, build up one another, just as you are doing. Encourage one another, build up one another, just as you are doing. Have you any idea the power of an encouraging word? The power of encouragement and what it can do in a person's life. We are like a machine, and our bodies, our spirits can run low on energy, like that battery can roll. And the aspects of that, again, is that we could all use a charge in our lives, right? We can get somebody to come along and say that encouraging word. Like, remember last week, these two guys were driving through the zoo, where you drive through it, and they see these two buffaloes standing by the fence. They stop the car, roll down the window. The one guy starts piling to the buffalo, you're the mangiest, dirtiest, filthiest looking beast I've ever seen on the face of the earth. And one buffalo turned to the other buffalo and said, I just think that I just heard a discouraging word. What comes out of your mouth? The Bible says, let every word that proceeds out of your mouth administer grace upon the hearer for the purpose of edifying, building up. That's what the word edify means, is to build up. Colossians 2:7, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him. Ephesians 4:12, it's equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Verse 16 in the same chapter, Ephesians 4, causes the growth of the body for the purpose of building itself up in love. We're to build up one another. We're to encourage one another. We're to be walking aside one another. There should never be a discouraging word come out of our mouth. You can't be a man or woman of faith and walk and live in discouragement. Why? Because there's nothing impossible with your God. If God is for you, nothing can be against you. We ought to be the most positive, encouraging, powerful people walking on the face of the earth because who we have as our Heavenly Father. Amen. Let's be a people that encourages one another, builds one another up. Why do we need to encourage one another? Well, Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13, Hebrews 3, 12, 13 says, take care, brethren, that there not be any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Wow. Is sin deceptive? Huh? You know, the human heart tends to wander away from God. You ever find yourself doing that? Most people, if you're left to yourself, more than that, you will wander. You really will. That's why God put us as many members in one body. God knew that the church, the body of Christ, could not make it against the deceptiveness of sin and the power of the evil one without us standing together, being together, encouraging one another together, and aspects of together, and helping one another to be alert and aware of anything that is a deceptive aspect of sin. So many have fallen along the way, haven't they? Haven't they? When you and I are God's people, we need to be encouraging one another to avoid that kind of disaster. To avoid it. And when you and I see a brother or sister caught up in a sin, then we need to get on our knees and honestly before God, humbly, pray for God to save that person. And to give us the wisdom, the who are spiritual, restore that one gently. Gently. Because I'm telling you, we live in a world that is full of deception today. There are lies all over the place. And the appeal of the flesh is more and more powerful all the time, isn't it? Movies, television, music. What is it referring to? What's it appealing to? The eyes? The lust of the eyes, isn't that right? The pride of life, isn't it? And so we need to be aware and we need to be encouraging one another and helping one another. Don't get caught up in the deceptfulness of sin. It's so easy to do. It's so easy to do. Sixthly, stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Hebrews 10, 23 and 24. Hebrews 10, 23, 24. That was our text today. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good works. What does the word stimulate mean? Have any idea what it means to stimulate somebody? Huh? If you sat down on your pew and there was a pin there and it got to you, what would you do? You would jump and maybe holler, right? And that pin stimulated you to do so. Right? Didn't it? Huh? Stimulate simply means to excite, to activity. That pin excited you, didn't it? Think about it. We're in this together, and we are to be stimulating one another, making one another excited to greater activity, to greater aspects of working and loving and serving the Lord and being actively involved in the body of Christ and making it what it ought to be. Enthusiasm is in God. In theos. Enthusiasm. God's people need to get enthusiastic about your relationship with the Lord and who you are and the relationship we have with one another. I trust to God you know what you have here in the body of Christ at Grand Lake. We're not big, but we're big-hearted. We can grow people. We can do more. We can bring people to Christ. We can grow in our relationship to one another and power that, you know. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. The word fervent means that which is marked by a great feeling of warmth. People need to walk into our fellowship and feel the warmth of our love for one another. Fervent. Warm. Warm. Galatians 6:10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Do good. Jesus went about doing good. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We have an opportunity to give money today to a great and unbelievable ministry. People who are sacrificing their lives to be in Texas, to be in Florida, to be in Puerto Rico, to be down in the Dominican Republic, they're there. They're there by the hundreds. Thousands of dollars are being given through AIDS. But you can count on this. Every dollar you give in this setting is going to go to buying food and clothes and paying and helping with hospitalization, etc., etc. I misquoted myself this morning. IDES has 500 doctors and nurses that are working in Florida, Georgia, and Dominican Republic, and in Puerto Rico. Did you know that? They're not getting paid. They're doing it on volunteer of their own expenses, sacrificing themselves to be there to help people. And you and I, we can't go maybe, but we can. We can be there in the heart of it all by giving money that will purchase food, clothing, and help them. Amen? We can do that. We can do that. And we have to be enthusiastic. Stimulate to love. Love not in word, but in deed, right? And everything you and I do, it should be a ministering of our love. Because if it isn't love, then it profits us nothing. Now what 1 Corinthians 13 says? Means nothing if we don't do what we do out of love. We need to love those people down in Texas and Florida and do whatever we can do to help assist what's going on down there. I can't imagine what it's like. I see pictures of Puerto Rico, and I just could not even imagine an island simply being devastated like it has been. My heart goes out to those people. You have brothers and sisters in Christ in those areas. You know that, don't you? We support a missionary and his wife down in Dominican Republic, Lisa, and the Romains. You know that, don't you? And they're pouring their hearts out down there for the people and what's happened to them and what's occurred in their individual lives. Now, this one may be difficult, but I believe God's Word teaches it. God's Word says that you and I are to confess our sins one to another and pray for one another. That is found in James 5:16. Did you know that? There's an organization out there, and I'll call it nothing more than an organization, that has taken confession and put it in a box. Why does the Bible teach us that we need to be able to be so warm, so intimate, so loving in our relationship that if somebody got caught up in a sin, they could come to me and confess that sin to me so I could pray for them and God could heal them? Sure takes an awful lot of love and family and trusting to somebody be able to do that, right? Doesn't it? Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who conceals his sin or his transgression will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion." What? When somebody comes and shares and opens their heart up to you or me, what should they find then? Somebody's going to bear the burden with them, right? And thus fulfill the law of Christ. But they should find the compassion of our Lord. What does the Lord require of us? But that we show mercy, that we walk uprightly with our God, and that we live justly before God. God wants a compassionate people. And Jesus said, if your religion, your walk with God, doesn't exceed the religion of the Pharisee, you will no wise even see the kingdom of God. What did they have? They read the scriptures. They prayed. They gave alms to help the people. They went to the synagogue every Sabbath day. What did they not do? Jesus said, don't stop doing what they're doing. Do what they're not doing. And what they were not showing was compassion. They weren't compassionate. And what does God want? He wants a body of people that will demonstrate His love to the world, that the world can see His love and His compassion and His mercy and how we treat one another. Be merciful. Be compassionate to one another. And share that with one another. Be a people that when someone is there and they need help, they could come to us humbly, if you will, and tell us, I have this issue in my life. I'm struggling with it. I need help and encouragement. Will you pray with me? Well, I've done that many times. And I can honestly say that 90% of the time, those people repent and get back into walking with the Lord. Why? What does confession do? It turns the light upon your darkness. If you conceal it, you hide it and you don't confess it, you're still going to be bound in that darkness as long as you're unwilling to face up to reality. We need help. And God can only love you through people. Right? God can only encourage people through people. Right? God can only love people through us. Right? God can only help and bear people's burdens through His body, the church. We are the body of Christ. He's the head over, and we need to behave as if He indeed is in us. And oh, by the way, He is. He is in us. And we need to be seen for who people need to be seen for who they are. They need that. They need individuals. And they're individuals that Christ died for just like He died for you and me. Amen? Christ died for all of us. He died for us. And God's love was demonstrated on a cross. And sometimes you've got to be willing to bear the cross with somebody else sometimes to help them get through whatever it is they're struggling with, whatever they're finding. If we follow those seven principles, and if we really applied them as God's Word teaches us, would there not be a radical change in your life and my life and how we treat other people? Having problems in your marriage? How about taking these principles and applying them? How about it? Loving your husband, loving your wife. Oh, the Bible says husbands love your wives even as Christ loved the church and did what? Gave Himself for. And wives, what does He say? Respect your husband and everything. Do we do that? Do we really follow the teachings of the Word of God? And if we do, isn't that really what's going to make a difference in the world today? You can save any relationship by the way you treat the person that you're interrelating with. You can do it. I know it works. I've done it at Van. I've done it through Farm Bureau. I do it as often as I can in the body of Christ. I have and I will to the grace of God. May He help me. May He help me love you like Christ loved you, treat you the way I know the Lord would treat you. If anyone does anything against you, whatever, the Bible says forgive even as you've been forgiven. Ephesians, it says that. Says that very clearly. Bear up with one another. That means put up with one another. Why? Because none of us are perfect. None of us are. The aspects of that is so clear in every one of our individual lives. And so as the perspective is, do we realize that we find our identity not within ourselves, but in our relationship with one another? That's important, isn't it? Our identity is in our relationship with one another. Love one another. Bear up one another. Forgive one another. I mean, one another, one another, one another. Say it. One another. One another. I want to read this in closing. And then I'm going to ask the deacons if they'll come and we'll take, receive the offering for Ides. Okay? Because right now you have that opportunity to do this. Reach out. Reach out and touch a soul that is hungry. Reach out and touch a spirit in despair. Reach out and touch a life torn and dirty, a man who is lonely, if you care. Reach out and touch that neighbor beside you. Reach out and touch that stranger who meets you. Reach out and touch the brother who needs you. Reach out and let the smile of God touch others through you. Reach out and touch a friend who is weary. Reach out and touch a seeker unaware. Reach out and touch through touching means losing a part of yourself, if you dare. Reach out and give your love to the loveless. Reach out and make a home for the homeless. Reach out and shed God's light in the darkness. Reach out and let the smile of God touch someone through you. Reach out. We're going to receive an offering. Going to go to Ides. Going to give you an opportunity to do what? To reach out and touch those people in Texas. To reach out and touch those people in Florida. To reach out and touch those people in Puerto Rico. The Dominican Republic. Reach out today, people. If you dare, give sacrificially. It's a great need, isn't it? isn't it? Let's pray, and then if you will, men, come and take up the offering, all right? Father in heaven, help us, Lord, to listen to these words that we've shared through your word today, that we'll apply them, we'll walk with them, we'll indeed practice those principles. Help us to know, God, that if indeed we would just do and treat other people the way we want to be treated, what a radical transformation that would occur in every relationship that we have. I thank you for the opportunity right now that we have as a body of Christ to reach out and to touch the lives of those who have been so devastated by these hurricanes and by every aspect, Lord. I pray that the gift that is given will be a gift of love, our love being expressed to those that we don't even know. But we are thankful that there is an organization, there is a commitment of God's people faithful to you that is willing to take what is given them and to share it with those who are in need, the homeless, the hungry. We see it, Lord, it's there. And so move us in our hearts today to give as we've been prospered, that you could bless us as a people. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.